I am paralyzed. Or I can get paralyzed in a moment. If you don't believe me, corral Wendy sometime and ask her what takes to happen. I get paralyzed the minute I hear somebody say, you know, my cousin's uncle's father's nephew's brother's sister's next door neighbor's little sister in the backyard in the rose bush, there's a tractor wheel sticking out of it. Would you like to come see it? At an auction, oh, I become paralyzed instantly. It has a bad effect on me. I become frozen, and then my wife has to deal with the after effects. She has to put up with what comes next. Because you see, I don't believe in throwing pretty near anything away. I'm serious. If you've been to my house, if you've walked in my shop, you've seen it. I can't do it. A broken toy? No, I can't. I can fix that broken toy. Didn't you ever watch that cartoon about the island of broken toys? They were saying, I can't throw anything away. I don't like to waste that kind of stuff. I'm sure that my life's calling probably was to become a salvage person. If you're politically correct, I grew up calling them junk men. I don't care, man, woman, whatever. I'm sure that's what I was supposed to be because I don't want to throw anything away. She got in the car this morning. Why is there a coffee can in the car? Well, because you can put stuff in it. But you can put that in the recycle. Yeah, but you can put stuff in it. But what are you going to do with it? I'm going to put stuff in it. We have 16,000 coffee cans in the house that have nothing in them. Because they throw them away at work. I can't stand to see it. I think I could be a preacher and own a junkyard. Don't you? You see the mountain of sermons in there? The truth is, I hardly throw anything out. Anything. And it's a product of my upbringing. My wife don't know this, and I forgot to grab them when I went out the door this morning. She tried to throw away a bag full of toys this week, and I got a hold of them. Yes, I did. And I went through them. Actually, it was just regular trash. There was two little writing boards in there that the boys had drawn these pictures on, and they were still good little writing boards with the dry erase matchbook, and she threw them away. No, they're back in the house. I erased them. Look at that. They were clean as the day is long. I'm a product of my upbringing. It's all because of my grandfather, Paul Leatherman Sr., and my uncle, and my father, and on back. You see, my grandfather told me a story when I was very young. In 1952, they lived on the mountains up here in Wolfsville on a place called Highland. And they farmed, and my grandfather didn't want to be a farmer, you see. And what he did was he kept everything, and there was a little section down in the corner of the farmyard where the tired tractors went. Tired. Not junk. Tired. And there was five of them there, and I know what they are to this day. And in 1952, at the height of the Korean War, the junk man came over and offered my grandfather too much money for them. And broke them up and took them away, and they were junked. In 1958, my grandfather attended his first tractor show and saw tractors operating of the very same kind that he broke up and sent to the junkyard. And these weren't the average run-of-the-mill. If he had those tractors today, they'd be worth a combined total of $100,000. And he was sad about that a lot. And so he didn't throw anything away ever again. It's why I think I love old equipment. I took my uncle and my children to a tractor show this past Friday up in Pennsylvania. Kinzer Show, Rough and Tumble Threshermen's Association. There is an example of wasting not. Everything there. There are tractors there that are older than probably some of you in this church. What year was Ellis born? 19, yeah. There were tractors there from 1902. All because somebody didn't want to waste them and keep them alive. And they restored them and they brought them back to life. And that's why I love old equipment, because of the way I grew up. That's why I grew up with the way I did. That's why I grew up with, when my grandfather passed away and we were cleaning his shop out, I found 2 5-gallon buckets full of drill bit shavings. Everybody laughs when I say, what? Packed full drill bit shavings. I looked at that and I said, what in the world does he have drill bit shavings for? I didn't throw them away. A year later, I was cleaning out a box that I hadn't seen before. And inside that box was a book, Building Your Shop Foundry. Hey, look at this book. And I'm reading through it, and a page that had been marked in his handwriting with notes and circles said, the easiest way to learn how to start melting metal to make your own casting is to start with drill bit shavings. Waste not. Open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16. Now some of you are going to sit there and go, what in the world is he doing today? We're going clean around the barn to go in the front door. I don't care. That's the way we're going. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he warned to tell his disciples, and he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, strengthen our hearts. Prepare us for this message. Lift us up. Let this be from you as we pray every Sunday, that the words we hear fall on our ears and give us something to go forward through the week with. How we can take your word and continue to apply it to ourselves every day, that we will become the beacons of light that you want us to be. Helping lead the lost, whatever our capacity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Waste not. Now we're going to look at that scripture from an entirely different angle today, because I don't believe in wasting anything, and neither did Jesus. I know a lot of people read that and they say, well, that's when Jesus was proclaimed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yes, that's true. Because Jesus asked him about it. He wanted to know, what do you know? He wanted to know, what you're learning? And he went to Peter. And Peter, of course, answered, well, some say you're the big prophet. You're a mishmash of all the prophets in the past. That's what some say, teacher. And Jesus looked at him and said, but who do you say I am? Stop right there. That ought to be the question we ask ourselves every morning. Who is Jesus? Prepare our heart for the day. Get us started. Get us primed for the day. Because inevitably at some point during the day, you're going to need Christ in your life. I'll guarantee you. You're going to need Him. Yes, you can shake your heads. And you start your morning off by going, Father in heaven, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of the living God. You are who resurrected me from sin. You are who saved me, and I believe in you. You start every morning saying that, you'll use it later that day. We all know where my favorite points to use it are. When the person in line is counting out their payment in pennies, and you really have to go because you've got to be somewhere. You get cut off in traffic. The kids make you mad. The boss has made you mad. You mashed your finger again. Some point you're going to need to turn to Christ, or somebody has told you something that has hurt you inside, or somebody has shared with you a story of pain in their life. At some point you're going to turn to Jesus and you're going to say, "Help me out." Amen? Waste not the opportunity. There's a reason why you're being taught this. There was a reason why there were two buckets of drill bit shavings. Absolutely, probably to most people, because you laughed when I told you this story like everybody does. Two buckets of nothing but worthlessness. Two buckets of something that could be transformed into a new being. Jesus is saying, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered. Didn't even hesitate. I'm sure he didn't even blink. "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living." Underline that in your Bible. Underline it in the Pew Bible. I don't care. The living God. Not the God that's dead. Not the God that's some entity far, far away. The living, breathing God. How do we know He's the living, breathing God? Look out the window. Look at the trees. You know this tree got struck by lightning and is still alive. He said, "You are the Son of the living God." Jesus teaching His disciples there at the beginning. Waste not the chance to proclaim Him. And so what do we see? We see Jesus bless him. Who would love to be in the presence of Jesus and say something that gets a blessing straight out of Jesus' mouth? I would be paralyzed. I would not be able to move. Well, guess what? Every time you proclaim Him, He blesses you to His Father. Every time. Every time you say, "Jesus Christ is my Savior," you've proclaimed it. Waste not another chance to proclaim Him, and I mean truly proclaim Him. First of all, have you accepted Him? I mean, accepted Him. I mean, let's face it. That's a pretty big step, isn't it? Because you have to sit in front of somebody and look at them and say, "I'm a child of Jesus Christ," and the entire world today, for the most part, is trying to do what? Tell you that He never lived. Linda shared that story with the Red Sea about the parting of the Red Sea and how it was so dry that they walked across it. Wouldn't you just, man, love to do that? I would have been walking across there going, pat, patting the walls of the water. Probably not. I'd have been running like a scared rabbit. But right at this moment, you're walking past two walls of water. Don't waste no time getting across there on dry ground. Today, the world says, "Well, that never took place." You heard her start to explain it. I saw a program on TV here a while back that said they only crossed where it was ankle deep. Well, what did you pull a string line across and trip all the Egyptians? They said, "Well, it wasn't possible." No, it's not possible for us. We can do that, and believe you me, I got a bowl of soup. Oh, I parted the water out on the table. But recently, they found pieces of a chariot at the deepest part of the Red Sea. How do you explain that? Oh, yeah. I like hearing that. I'm like, God won. Or another one. Waste not an opportunity to proclaim Him. First of all, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That means accepting someone that you cannot physically see. But you know He was here. I accept the fact that my last name is Leatherman and that I come from a storied long line of preachers. Never seen any of them yet. But I know they were here because I'm a product of it. Jesus Christ was here and saved you. You sit in this church because you're a product of that salvation. Because that's why you better be sitting here. Because if you're here thinking it's the right thing to do on Sunday morning, I got a brand new sermon coming out. Waste not. So first you accept Him, and then comes the big one. You ask for forgiveness. And then repent. You have to repent. You have to turn back and then start proclaiming Him. What's repentance mean? Well, it means don't do what you used to do. Does it mean you're still going to do some things? Sure. Are you perfect? Anybody in this room perfect other than me? I am truly perfect when I'm asleep. It means you have to turn back and then proclaim Him. Say it. Just like I'm begging you to come in that water next week. I don't need to go in there, even though there's a lot going on wrong in my life. What do I need to go in there for? I don't want all the people looking at me. So what? Say His name. I'm a child of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ. And I still miss the opportunity. Waste not that chance. Don't let that bucket of drill bit shavings get away from you. Because you don't know what they're there for. I didn't, and I started to throw them things away I don't know how many times, but because my last name is Leatherman and I'm a bona fide junk man idiot, I would pick them buckets up and say, I can't do it. There's a reason why he saved 2 5-gallon buckets full of drill bits. And I'm telling you right now, my brothers and sisters, the day I found that book down in that dirty shop while I was still cleaning up, I sat there and cried like a baby because I missed my grandfather. And I would love to have seen Him do this. I'm going to do it. Waste not. Now, here's why I think Jesus wanted Peter to proclaim Him so He could teach him about the truth of the Messiah, because time is short. Turn in your Bible, Psalm 39. Put a marker on this. You want a reminder as to why you should be a child of Jesus? You want a reminder as to why you should be in church on Sunday morning? You want a reminder as to why you should try to live your life as close to what Christ wanted you to live it? Get Psalm 39, mark it down, tear it out, staple it to your forehead. I don't know what to tell you, but when I read these words, it shook me a little bit. David writing these words. My Bible says, the theme, apart from God, life is fleeting and empty. There is an appeal for God's mercy because life is so brief. Verse 1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in You. How short is life? How old's your mother, Bud? 100? 100 years old. That's 100 years. Do you remember when you were 12 years old and you thought 16 was old? You remember when you were 15 and a half and you thought you'd never get to 16 so you could get behind the wheel of Dad's car? I had to wait a little while because I kept getting in trouble. Do you remember when you were 18 and thought that 30 was old? Do you remember when you were 30 and thought 18 was a baby? Do you remember when you turned 40 and you went, I ain't 40 years old yet. Quickly. quick as you can blink your eye, quick as you can snap your finger, life is over. Now, sometimes it might be 100 years, and sometimes you might not make it past childbirth. 16, 18, 30. My own father looked at me one day while we had just finished making hay. We were sitting down to eat, and my very own father looked at me one day as a man and looked at me because I was making comment about something on the television about somebody taking their own life, and without missing a beat, he looked straight at me and said, "Ain't nobody nowhere in this family ever figured you'd see 30 years old because of how hard I was running into the ground." I was 35 at the time. Life is that quick. You can wake up tomorrow thinking, "I'm going to get closer to Jesus. I'm going to start attending Sunday school a little bit more, or Bible study, or prayer meeting, or I'm going to start trying to read the Bible a little bit more, or I'm going to start proclaiming Him a little bit more." Bang! It's over. Your chance was gone. Or you can wake up tomorrow morning and say, "From here on out, until I'm going to proclaim, I'm going to get closer, I'm going to walk in that matter. I am not going to waste my time. I am not going to waste not. I am not going to stand by the side of the road for the people that need to know Christ and let them go past." You don't even have to be crazy about it. "Hey, I'm a child of Jesus." Pat telling some guy while he's got a plastic bag, "Do you know the way to heaven? Boy, I wish I could have been there." That guy's probably like, "What? What? Heaven? What? No, it's down aisle 4. That's where the cookies are, right?" Waste not. I'm not saying don't live. You have your garden, your shop, your house. Maybe you knit, maybe you paint. I don't know. Christ is not saying don't live. Christ is saying live for me in all things that you do. If you're at a tractor show and somebody's standing there talking to you about your beautiful piece of equipment, turn around and look at them. "Do you know my Jesus?" You're in the store somewhere buying supplies to knit, and the lady's just helped finishing you off with a bolt of cloth. "See, I know a few things. I got that right, didn't I? No, I messed it up again, didn't I?" Whatever. You're in the store buying something for knitting. Yarn, that's what it is. I said that, didn't I? No? Okay. "Do you know my Jesus? Do you know the way to heaven? Waste not." Paul writes to Timothy these words. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gives him some very simple instructions. 2 verses. He's talking about the Spirit. And he's making sure that Timothy understands that things are consecrated by the Word of God in prayer. He goes in verse 6 and says, "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly." Paul could have just as well said in today's language, "Don't waste your time listening to these fairy tales about Jesus Christ not being what He was and everybody trying to prove it. Don't spend time worrying about what this faith does or what that faith does. You spend time teaching what the Word says." Amen. You spend time talking about Jesus Christ as you have been taught. He is the Son of God. He did die. He did go to hell and fight it off. He did have victory over death. He did come out 3 days later. And now you go talk about it. That's what you're supposed to do. And I've said, do it at a restaurant. That's the funniest thing. Wait till you're sitting next to a table full of people and lean over to them and go, "Hi. Do you know my Jesus? Where are you going?" You might be surprised the answer you get back. I did that here not too long ago, and a guy leaned up to me and he goes, "Yes, I do." And I didn't know what to say next. I got to talk to him. It was fun. It was beautiful. Waste not. You all were once the bucket of drill bit shavings. The world took one good hard look at you and said, "What in the world is that person good for?" Each one of you. God said, I know what he's for. If you'll listen. If you'll waste no time coming to me. I'm stuck here on this theme lately because when I look back at the week and take stock of myself, did I take a chance at a chance I had to proclaim Jesus? Nope. I'm probably running about 70% for this past week. Will I ever get to 100%? No. It's human nature. We get sometimes too caught up, but we also need to remind ourselves. We need to go back to Psalms 39 and reread how short life is. We need to go back and reread what Jesus was saying to Peter. And none of us will ever be 100%, but here's the cool part. We're all still trying. If everybody in this room gave 50%, next Sunday you wouldn't be able to sit down in here. Imagine that. Y'all be tightened up like this. Like these kids when they sit here on this front bench. You got three kids sitting on each other's laps. You got one kid don't want nobody touching him. Then you got three kids that are trying to make one body. Imagine how full the church would be like that. 50%. Just go out and do it. And I'll tell you what, you'll understand why David said, when I sat still, even when there was good words to say and didn't say them, my heart burned within me. You know why? Because you were given a gift. Go back to Matthew. If you're still there, that's good. Jesus talking to him again. Listen to the words yet again. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus is saying to Peter, it's saying to us right now, I've given you the kingdom of heaven. I've given you the keys. The keys are my word in your mouth. The keys are, if you don't proclaim me, it'll burn within you. The keys are, if you bring somebody to me, they are bound to me for all time in heaven. If you let them loose, they'll be loose forever. Waste not. I can't tell you how much of an opportunity it will be if you look at things not from a wasteful standpoint. Why do I need to go in the water? I'm doing all right, even though everything around me is crashing down. Why do I need to re-baptize again? Well, maybe you come out of water and be feeling a lot better. Charles Francis Adams, the 19th century political figure and diplomat who was the son of one of my favorite political figures, or related to John Adams, second president of the United States, one of the best ones there was, kept a diary. One day he entered. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. His son, Brooke, also kept a diary, which is still in existence, and on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry. Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting time while fishing with his son, but the son saw it as an investment in time. You may think you're wasting your time by turning to somebody and saying, Jesus loves you. You may think, oh, it's a waste of time. And the person on the other end, you have no idea what's going on in their life, may all of a sudden know something. And while you may walk out of the store and never see them again, they may walk down the street to the church and fall on their knees. Because I'm going to tell you, it happened to each and every one of you. Some of you are lucky enough that you sit in the same church with the person that showed you the way to the cross. And some of you are just lucky enough to sit in church and know that you're doing what you can do. But don't waste. Don't waste not. Don't let it go. There is a story told of a man who decided to take a chance. He was on his way home after serving a tour in Vietnam. He was hitchhiking along the way. Now, he was a Christian. He had been drafted in and went and pulled his time there and was on his way home to become involved in business and church. And as he was hitchhiking, big old black Cadillac pulled up. Hey, you need a ride, son? I sure do. And they got in and he started talking to the man behind the wheel, a businessman. And they talked for all the miles it took for them to get to Chicago. And finally, the soldier witnessed to the businessman about his faith, about his Christ, about everything. And said, here, here's a... Man said, here's a card. Next time you're around these parts, look me up. They parted company. The businessman thanked the soldier. Time marched on. Businessman goes his way. The soldier becomes good in business, becomes in an effort to travel, becomes part of religious missionary work, finds himself in Chicago years later, pulls a card out. Hey, I need to look this fellow up because he accepted Christ when we was in the car. I want to see how he's doing. He goes to the business and he meets the man's wife. And he tells the woman, can I see so-and-so? She looks at him. She goes, what do you mean? Well, I was in a car with him these many years ago on this particular date. And as we drove along, I witnessed to him and he accepted Christ. And she broke down and ushered him into the office. You see, she was running the business now. Because not more than a month after that, the businessman died. He had been a ruthless, evil, mean individual. And yet he had talked to them of Jesus before he passed away. And the wife was beside herself to meet the person that wasted not the opportunity to talk of Jesus and save him. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Waste not your opportunity. I want you to think about that as we come forward next Sunday. As we prepare. Bring extra clothes. I will. I even get to change into bib overhauls afterwards. This week to come, look for an opportunity. I say this all the time, but that's my job. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Scripture says. Life is fleeting. Life is short. Hunt the opportunity down. Waste not. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything. Everything. We stand in front of you, decrepit, covered in sin. And yet when Christ's blood covers us, you don't see the sinful anymore. Instead of seeing a dirty, oil-soaked bucket full of old drill shavings, you see something that can be remade into something even greater. Your child. And so to that end, you gave us Jesus, the Master. The man that will mend us. The man that will heal us. The man that will save us from our own selves by just our simple acceptance of Him and proclamation of Him. Father, teach us not to waste the time, but to live in all things for Your name, regardless of what it is, even if it's fishing with our own children. Teach us to waste not. Let us go from here. Prepared for that, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. For all here. Amen. Our last hymn is hymn number 690. He leadeth me. That is... You know, I've said this before. Linda and I never talk about the music. And yet it always seems that last hymn is prepared in advance for my sermon, He Leadeth Me. And I ask if you're being led right now up here. Don't white knuckle the bench today. If there's a prayer you need, if there's a strengthening you need, as we sing this last hymn, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 690, He Leadeth Me. and sisters, let Him lead in the week to come. Let Him lead and waste not your chance. I pray blessings upon you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore, until we meet yet again. Amen.